All right, we'll move along to USC coach Steve Sarkisian. The Trojans have an open date this weekend. Coach is online, and we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask coach a question, please press star 1. And your first question comes from the line of Kevin Gimble, ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach. There's been a spike in the Pac-12 this year in returns for touchdowns, be it on kickoff or punt. You guys have been on both sides of it. I'm just curious, are you noticing anything different this year, whether it be coaching or coverage or just really talented return guys?
I think there's really talented return guys, quite honestly. We're fortunate to have a couple in Nelson Aguilar and Adoree Jackson. You look at, Ishmael Adams at UCLA. You look at the kid Charles Nelson at Oregon. You look at Devontae Neal at Arizona. You look at the kid from Utah. I'm leaving some guys out and not intentionally. Ty Montgomery. I think there's really talented guys. I think coaches are probably, I can't speak for them, but knowing they have talented guys, committing themselves to working on that aspect of the game, and the end result is, guys are making plays with the ball in their hands.
Gotcha. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Sam Farber, the Beast 980.
Hi, Coach. A question for you about two-way players. I know Adoree Jackson was used that way earlier this year, not so much lately, but how do you try and manage their minutes to make sure they're being the best they can be on each side of the ball while they're out there?
Right. I think the biggest thing is you have to be fair to the player, to making sure that you are putting him in the best position to be successful. As a team, it always sounds really good, and it sounds like, oh, yeah, you're going to play both ways and all those things, but you have to be fair to them that they're in a position to be successful. We did it a year ago with John Ross late in the year. He went in and played some nickel for us, and we had a lot of success. We let him play a lot of man coverage where he knew who he had and he defended his man. We've obviously done it some with Adoree, and he knows his package every week when he goes on in the field exactly what plays are going to be called. And so there's no mystery for him, and hopefully those plays are ones of which he can be successful at. So I think that's the challenge. I know that, guys are doing it. I know Miles is doing it over at UCLA some, running the ball. I know, obviously, Washington has really dedicated themselves to Shaq running the football the last 2 weeks and has really made him, an every down offensive player. I think it's credit to the coaches that are willing to do it. It's a credit to the players that their willingness and want to. It always sounds good to the guys, and then when you start managing practice time and things and, which period they're going to be with offense, which period they're going to be with defense, and then how much running are they really doing is one of the unique challenges. That, to me, that's been one of the real issues for us with Adoree is we face so many teams that are throwing the ball so much that our defense is on the field so much. He's on the field a lot on defense. He's obviously returning kicks offensively, and he's on other special teams. And he was, nursing, he's a little banged up. It just made it more difficult. I didn't feel comfortable putting him out there on offense. That being said, that doesn't mean that we won't here in the final three games if we can get him back fresh and healthy.
Do you feel in the future that you'll be more inclined to do it, or does it depend on if you have a guy like Adoree Jackson available to you?
Well, I think it depends on the individual player. It depends on your needs as a team. And where guys can fit in. We did it 2 years ago at Washington with Austin Seferian Jenkins. We put him in on third down and let him rush the passer. I think wherever your needs are as a football team, and then if you have a player capable of doing that, that make you better. They have to make you better. They have to give you something different that your other players don't give you.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Kyle Bonagher, ESPN.com.
Yes, Steve, obviously a tough end for Connor Halliday's career. What has your impression been over him over the past couple of years, and how do you see him projecting as an NFL player?
A great deal of respect for Connor. I told that to Coach Leach before the game. I thought that Coach Leach had done a really good job with Connor of developing him. His mental and physical toughness is obviously very evident. He can make all the throws. I think his release has gotten quicker. I think he's going to translate fine. You know, Jeff Toole came out of that system, and he's in the National Football League now. And you know, I've been watching Connor since high school. You know, from Eastern Washington. So you know, I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. We wish him a very healthy and speedy recovery.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Ryan Cartgene, the Orange County Registry.
Hey, Coach, just to piggyback off of that question about two-way players, is that a change that you've noticed maybe more in college football in the past few years, that coaches have realized that they can use players on both sides of the ball, or is that just a product of players being more capable of kind of handling that workload, just more athletic sort of players like that?
I don't think we're reinventing the wheel by having some guys play both ways. You know, the best one that I can remember doing that in somewhat recent history was Charles Woodson. They did a fantastic job of them at Michigan. And he had an impact on their team, and whether it was obviously on offense, defense, or special teams. So, you know, I don't think this is brand new. I think, you know, some teams will do it more than others. You know, I know that the kid at Arizona State, you know, is playing both ways as a tight end and as a defensive end, rushing the passer, and Coach Graham's done a good job with him there. So, you know, I don't know if we're reinventing the wheel. I don't know if this is a fad and how long things stay around for. But I know all the kids are willing. They all want to do it. It all sounds good. Believe me, I've got – it's not just Adore who would love to play both ways. We've got plenty of guys that would love to do it. But, again, you have to do what you think is best for the player and best for your team to give you the best chance to be successful.
It still seems kind of rare that you find a player who seems to dominate on both sides of the ball, like, say, Miles or Shaq have shown, you know, capabilities of doing. I know you've had some experience with both of those guys. What makes them so unique that they can, you know, do so well, you know, switching back and forth?
Well, I've recruited both those guys, you know, and watched them quite a bit through high school. And you could have argued for both of them that they were better high school offensive players than they were defensive players. You could easily have made that case, and you could have easily have said, hey, the day you show up on campus, you're going to be a running back when you come to school. Both of those guys had an interest in playing defense. That was for a variety of reasons. But I think to credit to both staffs, you know, they found a niche and a role for them on the offensive side of the ball to take advantage of a huge strength that they have. We had kicked that idea around a year ago with Shaq and did some stuff in practice, but we didn't really need to because we had Bishop Sankey. And if I was going to take Bishop Sankey off the field, it had to be a better option on the field. And Bishop got better as games went on. He got better with more carries. So it didn't really behoove us to do that. But obviously both schools feel like it's good for their program to have those guys carry the ball and to do something that they're very good at. And it shows. They both have had a lot of success running the football.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Magri, Associated Press.
Hello. We were just trying to find out. We've noticed the last 5 years or so, the field goal accuracy rate and the NFL keeps on going up and up, whereas in college it's kind of leveled off the last 5 years. And I was just wondering, trying to get your opinions on why you think field goal kicking remains such a kind of dicey proposition in the college ranks, why it remains as tricky as it is.
Well, I think so much of kicking field goals is as much mental as it is physical. And I think it's about your routine. You know, I almost equate it to golfing, and it's that golfer who really perfects his swing, has the utmost confidence in his swing, is not distracted by anything going on around him, and can focus on that kick for that moment over and over and over again. I think in our case, dealing with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old guys that are still trying to master their craft, it is the one aspect of our game that if you're not exactly right, you can have a mishap, whether it's the snap, whether it's the hold, whether it's the potential distraction of how important the kick is in the game. It could be a lack of focus. So I think a lot goes into it. I think when you get to the professional level, and there's a kicker and his livelihood is on the line, you know, he's going to work at that craft, and he's going to know exactly what he needs to get done down to the most minute detail to be successful. Not that our kids aren't, just a different frame of mind, in my opinion, when you get to that level.
Perfect. That'll do it today, sir. Appreciate your time, and enjoy the open date. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
You bet.